You're listening to a podcast from the Cinema Geekly Podcast Network. We're the geeks you deserve and the ones you need right now.
Welcome to Hear the Walking Dead, Cinema Geekly's all-encompassing omnibus Walking Dead podcast. It is Anthony and Aurora, and we're back to talk two more episodes of The Walking Dead, colon Daryl Dixon. Daryl goes French, and this week, the two episodes that we're going to be talking about are actually pretty different from one another. Episode two is kind of a mini direct follow-up from the first episode, but also kind of a prequel, sort of, in a way, sort of setting the stage a little bit. And episode three felt way more action-y to me any of the others we've gotten previously. So let's start with episode two, called Alouette, which is... some American people should know that word. I don't know how many of them were taught the French song that has Alouette in it. But a lot of them were. You probably, by your silence, Aurora, I'm guessing you were not.
Not me.
You didn't learn that. You didn't learn French.
I did take basic French in high school. That's it.
Oh, okay.
But it was in high school.
Right.
A thousand years ago.
They didn't teach you, like, Alouette, Gentil Alouette? They did not teach you the song?
They probably did. Again, it was a thousand years ago.
I mean, it was a thousand years ago for me too, Aurora, but somehow that catchy tune stuck in my head for like decades. I don't know.
Nope. I don't remember.
Anyway, in a flashback, during the initial outbreak, Isabel, we learn, is a drug addict and a thief. She escapes from Paris with her boyfriend Quinn and her pregnant sister Lily. She ultimately abandons Quinn. Lily dies and gives birth to, gives birth as a walker to Laurent via emergency C-section. In the present, the group loses their mule, as one does in the zombie apocalypse, and are captured by a group of children living in their old preschool with their dying teacher, Madame Dubois. Laurent makes friends with the children who tell them that the nuns are... the children tells them that the nuns are lying to him. Needing a horse, Daryl offers to get medicine for Dubois if one of the children, Lou, helps him raid a nearby castle owned by a man whose name I cannot pronounce.
If you can't pronounce it, me neither.
Yeah. Taresque? I don't know.
Let's call him Mr. T.
Yeah, Mr. T, which is now a brand new visual for me. He pities any zombie who walks into his French castle. Inside, Daryl confronts the man, revealed as an American named R.J. Gaines, and rescues a boy he has captured. Gaines falls into his own walker moat and is devoured. What a shame. While the kids rescue Daryl. Meanwhile, Dubois has died, and Daryl encourages Lou to step up as their leader. Daryl's party leaves, but Laurent expresses frustration over secrets kept from him. Meanwhile, Caudron returns to the Abbey, where he finds Daryl's recorded message, a picture of Laurent, and a map of the group's route to Paris. Aurora, what did you make of episode two?
Oh, I have so many thoughts. Starting with that last scene.
Yeah.
They left all the evidence there.
Oh, yeah. Just all of it.
They just made it super easy for this guy.
Yeah.
To find them.
Hey, tattoo face bad guy. just in case. Sorry we missed you, first of all. Like,
he left a voice message, a map.
He's like, also, if you look to your left on the ground as you walk, we left a breadcrumb trail.
Right.
That's how confident
Daryl is.
Daryl doesn't care. Yeah. He's like, we marked the trees. So this way we, yeah.
Was I the only one? I know this is not in America, but I got a little bit excited when I saw that there was a it was this community of kids, and I was like, oh my god, is Clementine there?
Right. Is this like the alternate universe or whatever? Like, does the Telltale game exist in a different reality than this one? Like, did all this stuff like happen in France instead? Like, yeah, I'm here for it.
Yeah, I was like excited for a second, and then I realized she wasn't there.
Part of me feels
but
like,
but it's still cool. It's still cool.
Yeah, part of me felt like somebody just thought it was a good idea. They're like, you know, what would be a good idea? Like, there's this Walking Dead game, and they're like, introduce the characters from that. And they're like, no, just the general concept of that. Like, let's just put that in an episode, right? Just to anger the people who love those games so much.
Yeah. I don't know if I'm the one noticing this, or if they're doing this on purpose, but we've seen the Walking Dead series for a long time.
Yeah.
And every time they try to establish a community, something happens that crumbles.
Oh, yeah.
And they've tried multiple times, and it lasts for a little bit, and then it just goes to shit.
Every time.
And then Daryl goes, you know, outside of the U.S. And people are thriving in communities.
Yeah.
There's like nuns having like a great time.
Yeah, even the bad guys are kind of respectful of the nuns. Yeah.
Yes. And then now there's like a community of like literally kids.
Yeah.
Just supporting themselves, teaching, like they're going to school, they're eating meals every night.
Mm-hmm.
They're just like thriving. And I'm like, wow, this has it could never happen in The Walking Dead.
Kind of just doing okay for the most part.
Yeah, they're like, doing great.
All things considered. It could be worse.
Yeah. And then we find out
on America.
Right? I don't know if they're doing this on purpose, but I'm noticing this pattern, and I'm like, accurate. Mm-hmm. And then the fact that there's an American guy abroad who took over a full castle and he's hoarding resources, I was like, wow, shots fired.
Yeah.
So, I don't know if they're trying to make a political statement, but I see you. I see you.
Yeah.
I see what you're doing.
I want to know that guy's backstory. It was so weird or whatever. You know, and he was just like, oh, hey, man, I'm from Texas. Like, I'm just an American. I'm a patriot just like you. And Daryl's just like, Texas is gone.
Shut up.
Everything's gone. Everyone you know is dead. I like how the dude assumed like America was okay. Like, it's horrible here, but like,
he was shocked at this news.
I just want to go back to my cattle ranch, man. Like, that's that guy just assumed like everything was cool. Like, America's got this. We probably just nuked the zombies. It's like, nope. Oh no, it's so much worse. Actually, you should stay here.
Yeah.
I just saw these kids have like I was with these nuns and they were just fine.
Right. But you know what sucks? Is that, you know, this guy has spent probably years trying to keep this castle protected. Like, he has like a whole like zombie herd like surrounding it.
Yeah.
And he's like, he has a bunch of resources, like he's comfortable. And it only took Daryl Dixon,
of course,
to jump the gate to destroy everything.
Yep.
It was amazing.
He's like Pigpen from the Peanuts, but instead of like a dirt cloud following him everywhere, it's just a cloud of chaos and destruction. Yeah. Like, he doesn't even mean to bring it with him. It just sort of happens naturally.
Yeah.
That's our Daryl. what do we think of the, what do we think of the birth of Laurent here, in the flashbacks? I think we are led to believe that this is why he is seen as whole. Like, obviously they didn't really know what this whole zombie thing was at first. So especially I think for religious people, they're like, oh man, I've seen The Exorcist before. Like, this woman is possessed by the demon. Like, you know, I'm sure if you add up her birthday numbers or whatever, it's like 666 or something. Like, we need, you know, and I feel like that's what happened. Like, when the priest went in there and stuff, like, I mean, he was speaking in French, but like, I would not be shocked at all if he was like, the power of Christ compels you.
Probably.
You know, like trying to exorcise the demon. Like, and I totally see how they could see it like that. And when they do the C-section and the baby's born and the baby's totally fine, like, they would see this as like a miracle. And maybe it is a miracle because we don't know anything about like zombie physiology. We don't know what's causing this. Yeah. We don't know.
And I immediately thought, is he, could he be immune? Could he have like...
Right. This is the Ellie thing, right? Yeah. From Last of Us. Like,
yes.
It's sort of in that show, spoiler alert, if you haven't watched it, and you should, and then go listen to our companion podcast.
Yeah. And play the game.
And play the games. do all the things for that. But spoiler alert for that if you haven't watched it. But yeah, they intimate in there that maybe her mother being bitten before she was born is... you know, something to do with like the mother's immune response or something like that. Like something has like something switched in there and like Ellie's immune. And maybe the same is true of Laurent here, although they have not really explored that. They just look at him as a miracle and they think that miracles happen for a reason. And the reason must be he is going to like lead us out of this.
Yeah.
Like and as he was like taken from the situation he was in like nice and clean and completely human. Right. Like I think they see it the same way. But yeah, I thought that was really interesting.
I know that last time we talked about that there might be like a supernatural component, a spiritual component to this show.
Yeah.
But I wonder if we kind of see more of it in the next episode, but he is a very smart kid, and he has a lot of empathy.
Yes.
And I wonder if it's not related to a miracle at all, and it's the fact that he was raised by nuns.
Yeah. He might just be a really empathetic person. Yeah.
Yeah, he was sheltered in an amazing like structure. He didn't know, you know, a lot of the hardships that other kids have had to go through outside of, you know, being in a convent.
Mm-hmm.
And he was raised by people that have a lot of empathy. So it doesn't surprise me that he's empathetic.
Right. No. Right. And everyone else is like, wow. Like, you're just different from everybody. Right. It's like, man, you've just been living in, like, the hellscape for, like, a decade.
Yes.
And, you know, people lose their humanity in situations like that.
Exactly.
He's just been able to retain his better than most. It was kind of like that in that other Walking Dead spinoff that only got two seasons. The one with the kids who grew up, like, on the college campus place. And they were very sheltered, too.
Right.
Not quite as empathetic, though, as Laurent. He does seem to have some sort of insight that others don't really have. But any final thoughts on episode two? And what would you give it?
Oh, my only final thought is, you know, as someone that just recently gave birth to a human and was pregnant, I can say that it is accurate. you know, the fact that she was a zombie is not different from how I felt giving birth.
All the screaming and like clutching and lunging towards people.
Yeah. No difference. No difference. I'm gonna give a high score to this episode. I really like it. I was really into it. I gave it a 4.5.
Okay, yeah, I gave this a 4.5. Yeah. This is a great a great episode, a really strong start out of the gate for this show. And then we hop in to episode 3 and we're going to see how well my French has been stored in my brain here, because it is called Paris sera toujours Paris, which means Paris will always be Paris. Can you guess where our group has ended up? After a brief stop in Angier sounds like a country. I don't know. Ben, when you hear this, please inform me. See, like in English, it's Angers. Angers.
Yeah. Yes.
Which, no.
Yeah.
Which included a bizarre zombie orchestra.
That was insane.
Brand new.
We need to talk about it. Yes.
Yeah, we'll talk about that. Performing Bolero. Daryl's group finally reaches Paris. There, after a poignant encounter with a little girl, now a zombie, you remember her from the flashback mm-hmm. episode last week, who used to be Isabelle's neighbor, they meet a community led by a man named Falou. With their help, Daryl seeks out information on a ship that can return him to America, which leads the group to a nightclub, the Demimonde nightclub. Mm-hmm. So much French. Mm-hmm. And a reunion with Isabelle's ex-boyfriend, Quinn. Quinn reveals that he is Laurent's father and demands that Isabelle and Laurent stay with him in exchange for his help. Daryl rejects the deal and prepares to set out on his own after an argument with Isabelle, leading to Laurent running away after overhearing them. Caudron meets with Jeanette, who agrees to let him lead the search for Daryl while her people continue experimenting with walkers. Pouvoir? That's a name? Attacks Falou's community, and Isabelle searches for Laurent while Daryl falls through a roof following a brutal fight with Caudron. You know what? Not worried at all for Daryl.
No.
At all, because we've already... This is not his toughest fight. Like, no. Godron's a big dude or whatever, but, you know, he's not, like, yeah. Beta.
I mean, it will be weird to have the main character die.
Yeah, it would be super weird, especially since they're making a second season of the show. It would be weird if he just fell through the roof and, like, yeah.
I mean, it would be different. That would be a first.
Yeah. He fell through the roof, landed on a rusty nail, it went into his leg, and he was killed by tetanus.
Yeah.
What a way to go for Daryl Dixon after everything he's been through. So what are your thoughts on episode 3?
I feel like this episode should be called Awkward.
Oh, okay.
It was very awkward.
Yeah.
It was very awkward. When I saw this guy being the leader in that nightclub,
mm-hmm.
I was like, oh, shit.
Yep.
What a twist.
Yeah.
But I have a theory.
Okay.
I think he's lying. I don't think he's Laurent's father.
Right.
Because, one, he's a jerk.
Mm-hmm.
And two...
And we do know that empathy is genetic.
Right.
No way he passed that down to Laurent.
But also, I mean, her sister is not here to
corroborate. Know, yeah,
right. And he had some time to think about this because he saw the kid, and then you know later is when he reveals this information.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know what the purpose is for him to claim, because one thing, I mean, it's gonna sound horrible, but if you are in the zombie apocalypse and you find out that the kid that you thought you had is alive.
Yeah.
I don't think that the smartest thing is to claim him.
Right.
You're going to have to take care of a kid in the zombie apocalypse.
Mm-hmm.
So the fact that he like revealed this tells me that he has some ulterior motive.
Yeah.
And that's why I don't think he is his actual dad.
Yeah. I mean, plus he's
but maybe I'm wrong. I don't know.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, I liked the episode. I didn't like it as much as episode 2.
Mm-hmm.
It was nice to see a little bit of action pick up a little bit in here, but
yeah.
It kind of I don't know. It not a lot of this episode sunk in with me. Like the last episode.
Not the zombie orchestra?
I mean, okay, let's talk about the zombie orchestra. Like probably second weirdest thing I've seen in Walking Dead. I mean, I don't know.
It's been a lot of weird things.
This is probably the weirdest thing. I was thinking of like the wrestling match fight to kill zombies in Fear the Walking Dead. That was pretty bizarre. Like really bizarre.
That's really bizarre, but I can see that happening.
Mm-hmm. Like, this was just, you know, I want to know so many things that I see in this show where it's like, I want to know the backstory of this. Like, how, you know, like sometimes you just like, you hop on YouTube or TikTok or whatever, and there's somebody that's like, I'm baking a cake, or watch me build this shelf or something. I want like a time lapse video of this guy like getting this orchestra set up. Like, how did you do this?
Yeah, yeah.
Like, I see how it works, kind of. Like, you sort of have them strapped to... I think there's... I'm pretty sure there's one zombie that just has, like, a horn right up to its face.
Yeah.
And it just... Whenever it tries to make noise, it pushes air through the horn, so it plays a horn.
Yeah, and I don't... I mean, there's so many logistics that we can talk about.
Yeah, it's just...
In this scenario. But zombies are decomposing bodies.
Mm-hmm.
So at some point, they're going to like get loose.
Yeah.
You know, the skin is going to like fall off.
Yeah.
And the bones are going to break and they're going to let loose. So this guy's in danger.
He really is. I thought. And he just likes to just go. You know, actually, I'm not sure what the best part of this scene was. Part of me is like very impressed because it feels like the production staff for this show just decided, you know, we're going to make like a theme park attraction. If there's ever like a Walking Dead land at Universal Studios or whatever, this would be a thing, like, you know, with like the Pirates of the Caribbean ride where like they're all singing a song to you. You just walk into a room and there's like a zombie orchestra. They made a whole thing for that. But honestly, I feel like the best part of it was like this guy is just going off. He is having the time of his life. Like, this is what he lives for, is to see these dead people badly, I might add, play music.
Yes.
And Daryl's to Isabella is just like, let's get out of here. And they just they just leave. Don't tell him.
That was my favorite part. My favorite part was Daryl being just like, this sucks. Let's go.
Yeah. They just leave. They don't say anything to him. The dude doesn't even look. Like, we needed like a post credit after the whole episode's done. And the guy's like going and still going. And then he turns around and then he's like, wait, where did everybody go?
Yeah. And honestly, like, this is like... why I love the fact that we have a Daryl Dixon spinoff.
Yeah.
Because one of the things that I love the most about this character is his reaction to things.
Yeah.
He's like, whatever, to this like insane scenario.
Yeah. Well, and... I mean, that happened in the first episode when he saw that sign that said like, God loves you or whatever. And he's like, eh.
And when, you know, Quinn is, you know, talking to, oh my God, I forgot her. What's her name?
Isabel.
He, at some point, Daryl is like, fuck this guy. Do his face.
Yeah.
Let's go.
Yeah. I forgot that they say F words.
Yes. Yes. And I was like, yes, Daryl. So yeah, I love his reactions to everything. It's great.
He's just interested in getting back and finding Rick. Like, that's all he cares about. Like, who knows about, like, what they're experimenting on the walkers for or with? I'm not even 100% sure. They didn't really make that very clear, like, what their goal or aim seems to be. But they're trying to do something with them. Weaponize them, maybe? I don't know.
Yeah, it could be. But it was really interesting to see, like, the... Yeah. When they're leaving Isabel's apartment, a bunch of walkers fall from the windows.
Mm-hmm.
And one of them, well, a couple of them, like, stand up. And it looks like they're regenerating. Like, they're like...
Oh.
You see that?
Yeah, a little bit. Yeah.
Yeah, like, they did a close-up to one of their faces. And it looked like the skin was, like, the skin that broke from the fall was regenerating. Mm-hmm. And for some reason, one was smoke was coming out of them too.
Yeah. Well, like, cause a couple of them are like burning or have like acidic oil on their skin or something.
Yeah. Something like that. Yeah. Yeah.
Now, so. I don't know if this is a result of like Jeanette's group or whatever, but you know, we saw stuff like that. We saw variants in America too, that, could like open doors or climb fences and we're just mutating or evolving in some way. Mm-hmm. So this would all be very cool if it was something along those lines. But I suppose we will get more of it. Obviously, there are more episodes left. But anyway, final thoughts on Paris Will Always Be Paris. And what would you give it?
Yeah, it was a very interesting episode. I do appreciate introducing new ideas and concepts to this, you know, Walking Dead universe, because we've seen so many things. So that, yeah, when they present us with like a zombie orchestra, I'm like, okay, you know, it's weird, but I appreciate the, you know, the intention.
Yeah.
I agree. I didn't like it as much as the second episode, but yeah, I gave it a 4. I liked it.
Okay. Yeah. I feel like, you know, it's not so far-fetched. Like, in a world where you've been living amongst zombies for more than a decade,
yep,
like, there's a good chance you're going to have some eccentric, artsy person who's just like, I can turn them into, you know, Princess kind of did that a little bit, I feel like.
Yeah, and we saw it in Dead City, too. Like, they found this, like, mural with, like, was it baby dolls and like zombie parts.
So, you know, there's always going to be people being like, I can turn this into art, right. So commendable, but weird for sure. But that's sort of always been art has always been commendable but weird, so yeah. You know what, it's okay. I'm okay with it. I gave it a 3.75, not quite a 4, but not as much as the first or the second episode, but I like that. I'm here for it. I'm curious to see where things go. They're kind of doing a little bit of this fracturing thing that we do see a lot in Walking Dead. I suppose it's inevitable, but you know, they've got 3 more episodes to put things right, I guess. So we shall see. In the meantime, everybody, head on over to cinemageekly.com, where you can check out the archives of the show. This is a listener-supported podcast, and there are some ways you can help there if you'd like. We have a Patreon, patreon.com/cinemageekly. We have the merch store, geeklymerch.com. I am currently working on a French zombie shirt design. So whatever your worst fears of that are, I'm trying to make that happen. So the links for those are in the show notes for this episode. Of course, you can find us on Apple Podcasts, Google Podcasts, Spotify, and Audible. Just search for Hear the Walking Dead, hit subscribe, and that way you can join us for more The Walking Dead, Colin Daryl Dixon, Season 1, Episode 4, called La Dame des Fer, or in English, The Lady of Iron.